Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Kuf. We are starting in the Mishnah on the bottom of Sadi Testament Beis. Here in the 11th parak of the Masechta, we have been principally dealing with the Amana and her requirement of collecting her debt. She is owed a Ksuva, and she therefore is entitled to collect the Ksuva. And so that is fundamentally what we've been discussing. Yesterday's daf, we talked about the idea that when she sells off properties of the Yisomim to satisfy her obligation, so she cannot make any kind of error whatsoever in the market value. If, in fact, she deviates any amount in terms of the sale is going to be voided. In our Mishnah, we're going to be discussing what happens when Beis Din goes and sells the property of the Yisomim. Are they given that kind of lack of margin of error, or are they given a margin of error? So the answer to that is very simple. They are given a margin of error. The only thing that we're going to be discussing in the course of our Mishnah is how wide a margin of error is given over to the Dayanim, and so we begin. Shema Dayanim. So as far as Dayanim going off and selling off property, so Pischo Shesus, O Sifa Shesus, Bechrim Bato. So if they deviate from anything greater than a six, so the Mekach is in fact going to be Bato, meaning that basically what the Chachamim did in terms of Beis Din's allowance for error is they gave him basically Onah rules. We know the Gemara Metziah tells us right in the middle of the Masechta, Daf Nun, so that when you sell any item and you are charging anything greater than a six or less than a six of its fair market value, so that is the violation of Onah. And if you do, in fact, the sale will be voided. So over here, even though we're talking about property, and even though there's no Onah when it comes to property, but this is not the principal selling off property. This is now based in selling off other people's properties. And as such, so what Chazal did is they basically gave the Onah margin of error as what is considered an acceptable margin of error for Beis Din when Beis Din sells, and anything greater than that the sale is going to be voided. Shimon Gamliel, Amar Machron Kayim, Imkei Makoch Beis Din Yafe. And in the Mishnah, the sheet of Shimon Gamliel, he argues with the Tanakama. He's of the position that if the sale even exceeds a six greater or less than, the sale is going to be valid because Imkei Makoch Beis Din Yafe. There is a requirement to prop up Beis Din. We have to provide Beis Din its full authority, and even in an error where it's a larger than what is normally an allowable error, still Makoch Beis Din Yafe, we're going to prop up Beis Din and we're going to allow the sale to be a valid sale. Mishnah then goes on Aval Imasu Igeres Bekaras Minam. But if there's an auction that's done, now as we're going to learn in the course of today's daf, an auction is always done. I do take that back, because as we get to the Gemara, we're going to see that there are occasions when the auctions are not done. An auction should be done under most circumstances. So it's a little bit strange that our Mishnah over here starts off where presumably there was no auction that was done, and then the Mishnah says, now if there was an auction that was done, and the Gemara is going to address that. In other words, in the Gemara itself, we're going to see that it's a little bit strange how to understand the first half of our Mishnah. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that point. Aval imasu igeres bikaris b'nehem. Now here, igeres bikaris is a term to describe achraza. In other words, the normal term that we use to describe an auction is what's called achraza. Our Mishnah calls it igeres bikaris. Rashi describes over here, you're inviting people to come in and take a look at it. Okay. So, afilo machra shava mana b'masayim, shava masayim b'mana machram kayim. So when sold under an auction, so then the mechra is going to be kayim under all circumstances. The Gemara starts off the discussion with a simple question. Okay, so we have two models of selling off the property of Yisomim, at least discussed up until this point in time in the 11th parak. Number one, we've been talking about a widow selling off the property, and when a widow makes any kind of error in the sale, any deviation from what is its appraised market value is going to void the sale. Okay, and then in the Mishnah we just learned together, we learn that for the Dayanim, there is a margin of error. Now, how wide a margin of error? Machlokas, between the Tanakam, Rishim, and Gamliel, but there is a margin of error. Okay, so we know about the Amanim, we know about the Dayanim. What about a Shliach? What if a Shliach sells? So the Gemara proposes that there are two ways to look at it. So Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Shliach Kedayanim. And Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Nachman, Kalmana. So Shliach either is going to be aligned with a Dayan or is going to be aligned with an Amanah. And the Gemara gives svaras for both of these positions. Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayanim Ma Dayanim Lavli Didu Av Shliach Nami Lavli Didei Lafuki Amana Dili Dida. One way to argue is that that the shliach is going to be aligned with the dayanim, because dayanim are selling not for themselves. Shliach also is not selling for himself, as opposed to an almana who is selling principally for herself. So that's why we could say that by the shliach, this should be a margin of error. And Rav Shmuel bar Bisna or Rav Nachman Kalmana, Malmana Yechidaf Shliach Yachid, Lafuge based in the Rabbim Ninhu. On the other hand, we should put the shliach together with the almana in terms of not allowing any margin of error, because the almana is selling as a sole entity. It's just she who's selling. Same thing with the shliach. Shliach is a sole entity, as opposed to Basin. Basin is Rabbim. Now, Basin Rabbim could just literally mean that Basin is made up of more than one person. Also, maybe, I'm suggesting, Shliach Rabbim is, I'm sorry, Basin is considered Rabbim because Basin is an institution. Either way, in other words, you can make a very simple distinction between an individual selling versus a group selling. And so therefore, the Shliach should be like an Amana, which means that there should be no margin of error. The Hilchos Shliach Amana, the Gemara says that the conclusion is that the Shliach is going to be like an Amana, where there's no margin of error. Okay, just a very basic debate over here between Rashi and Rabbi Natam. When the Gemara was asking about a Shliach, the Gemara is asking what kind of Shliach. So Rashi seems to suggest that we're talking about just a general Shliach who's going and selling the properties on behalf of somebody else. Now that's very difficult. Rabbi Natan makes this point on the first Tosfos on the Amud. That's very difficult because we just learned together that when I ask a shliach to do something on my behalf, I want him to help me, not hurt me. And in yesterday's daf, we just pointed out that if a shliach does anything that would hurt me, that would financially cause me any kind of loss, so then the agency, by definition, is going to be nisbatel. The agency will be voided and the sale will be voided. So it's a little bit hard to even understand how the Gemara even entertained the idea that the shliach should be like Beis Din, in that we're going to give him a margin of error, when in yesterday's daf we allowed no margin of error for the shliach. So Rabbeinu Tam suggests that when the Gemara was asking about shliach over here, it was asking about not a stam a shliach, but rather the shliach of Beis Din. See the first Tosfos that discusses this and cites the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway. It comes out anyway that the Gemara concluded that the shliach is going to be like an amana, but still, in other words, what's important to clarify is, even as the Gemara was entertaining, what kind of shliach was the Gemara entertaining? The Gemara now is going to be quoting a Mishnah that we've heard already numerous times throughout this Masech and others as well. So, I was asked by somebody, look, the homeowner is not going to be home, and produce is coming in, and he wants to take off truma. And he asks me, he appoints me as an agent in order to take off truma. Okay, the Gemara in the second parak of Kedushin goes over that one of the chief sources in the Torah that teaches us shlichus is truma. Anyway, so good. So he appoints me a shlich to take off truma. And how much truma do I take off? So let's ask in general, how much truma do you take off? The correct answer is 2%. Well, if I'm going to go back, the Torah doesn't give us a percentage. The Torah just simply says take off truma. And we know the Gemara on numerous occasions tells us that chita achas poter sakri, that if I just take even one kernel off, so that's enough truma to render the rest of the produce to be corrected. And even that's not totally true, because we still have to take off Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, etc., etc. But in other words, the Torah does not give an amount of truma. The Chachamim do. And they say take off 2%. But even as they say take off 2%, so there is there's a range. Anywhere between 1/40th to 1/60th. 1/50th Beinoni, which is 2%, but you could take off a little bit more, 1/40th, or you could take off a little bit less, 1/60th. Okay, so now that I know that there's a range, I ask a shliach to do so, and he does so. So, ha'omer l'shulchan tzevachorim term kedas balabayas. So the halach is that you take off truma kedas balabayas, meaning you should basically know the homeowner's general tendencies. Is he average? Does he like giving off a little bit more? Does he like giving off a little bit less? And you, the shliach, should conform to what you think he's that kind of guy. Now, if you don't know, so default to 1/50th. Now, if it happens to be that you decided that he is cheap and you gave a 60th, you decided that he was generous and you gave a 40th, so over there it's acceptable. Okay, so what did we just learn together? That you made a small deviation and it's acceptable. So meanwhile, didn't we just conclude that a shliach makes any deviation and that's unacceptable? The answer is pretty obvious. The Gemara spells it out. Halsam kevin de ika determ bein yavra, the ika determ bein yafa. Amrle lachi amaditicha. Avahacha ta'usahu. Amrle lo ibaich le lamite. So the Gemara says, look, the difference is that when it comes to truma, there is a range. There is an allowable range of how much truma you give off. So in other words, there is no precise amount. A 50th is not the amount. The amount can range anywhere between a 40th to a 60th. And you, as long as you gave within that range, acceptable. But when it comes to any deviation from what is fair market value, so that is unacceptable. Okay, that's the difference. Amar Avuna Brachina, Amar Rav Nachman, Alachi Kedivrei Chachamim. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that in our Mishnah, Beis Din is given a margin of error, but how much of a margin of error? Tanna Kamma says up to a 6th, and Rav Shimon Gemel says even greater. So who do we paskin like? So Rav Nachman is cited as paskin like the Tanna Kamma. So the Gemara says, V'leitzei l'Rav Nachman makoch Beis Din Yafin. Now wait 1 second. I know that Rav Nachman is taken by the argument of makoch Beis Din Yafin. How do I know that? V'amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel, yisamim shabau lachlok b'nechzei avim Beis Din ma'amidim lam apetropos u'borin lehem chelek yafin. So what happens when the children's estate is going to be divided? There is a discussion to be had over here in terms of why divide the estate now? Why not wait until they grow up and then divide the estate? Okay, there is that discussion, but for our purposes right now, let's just look at what's happening. The estate is being divided, and right now, the children are children, and they're not old enough to really represent themselves. So, Basin appoints a representative to them. It's called an apotropos. And now the apotropos, on their behalf, is going to go ahead and divide the estate. So, higdilu yichol limcho. So, Rav Nachman, quoting Shmuel, says that they can appeal later in life. And Rav Nachman did de amar igdilo ein yichol limcho simke makoch beis niyafe. And Rav Nachman says, look, that's Shmuel's position. I beg to differ. I think they can't appeal later in life. And the reason why they can't appeal later in life is because the apotropos was appointed by Beis Din. And if you allow for them to appeal later in life, so basically what you're doing is that you're taking the strength away from Beis Din. And we can't do that. We have to empower Beis Din. So you see over here that Rav Nachman is in fact going to be going like the Svara of Rav Shimon Gamliel of Makoch Beis Din Yafe. And therefore it begs the question, how can Rav Nachman side like the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah when clearly Rav Nachman is taken by this argument of Makoch Beis Din Yafe? So lo kasha had tau, had lo tau. So the Gemara says that there's going to be a difference between whether or not Beis Din made a mistake or Beis Din did not make a mistake. And in the case of the division of property, Beis Din didn't make a mistake, or the apotropism didn't make a mistake. And on our mission, they did. And that's the difference. The Gemara says, well, 1 second. Really? So in the division of property, so the apotropos didn't make a mistake. So then what are we appealing exactly? So the Gemara's answer is Baruchos. We're appealing location, meaning that everyone got a fair share of market value of the estate. However, what I'm arguing, what I'm quibbling with my brothers over, is that I can't believe he got that property over there and I got this property over here. I want it over there. So they're arguing about location. That's something where Rav Nachman steps in and says, no. In other words, they don't have the right to argue over location because imkei makoch beis din yafe. But in terms of price and I didn't get the correct value, so there, even Rav Nachman will agree that we're not going to go with we'll go with a small margin of error of the chachamim, but not with a wider margin of error of Shimon Gamliel. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, more on the discussion of who do we pass on like in our Mishnah. So we just learned together that according to Rav Nachman, we pass on like the Tanna Kamma, where there's a small margin of error allowed for Beis Din, but not a large margin of error. The Gemara now quotes, in the name of Rav Dimi, Maise v'asa Rebbe kidivrei chachamim amalafanav, parata b'no shel Rebbe Lazar ben parta, ben beno shel Rebbe parta agadol imkei makoch Beis Din Yafe v'ichzi Rebbe, it's a Maise. Rebbe paskin like the Tanna Kamma, meaning there was an episode where Beis Din did sell off a property, they made an error, it exceeded the 6, and so the question was, is that, should the sale be voided? Rebbe voided the sale, but then this colleague of his, Parta, the son of Rebbe Lazar ben Parta, who's the grandson of Parta Gadol, Parta used to be a name, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it. So anyway, so he said to Rebbe, wait 1 second, im kein makoch beis din yafe, meaning Rav Shimon Gamliel. And Rebbe said, you're right. You're right. Rav Shimon Gamliel. And then version number two of the story, which is almost identical, a subtle difference. Rav Dimi Masnehachi, Rav Safra Masnehachi, Maisa Bikesh Rabbi La'asuske Divrei Chachamim, and Amar Lafana Parta Benosha Rabbi Elazar Ben Parta Ben Benosha Rabbi Parta Gadol Imkei Makoch Beis Din Yafe V'lo Asa Rabbi Samaisa. Now in version number two of the story, the only difference is that Rabbi didn't actually paskin. He was considering paskin like the Tanakama, and then whispered in his ear, wait 1 second, what about Makoch Beis Din Yafe? And he's like, you're right. Okay. So, Lema Baha Kamifligi. For a moment, the Gemara wants to consider there's a not such a subtle difference between version number one and version number two of the story, and that there's a very big difference between these two versions of the story. Mar Savar Talbid Var Mishnah Choser, or Mar Savar Eino Choser. Maybe at the core of the two versions of the story is what happens when Beis Din makes an egregious error. It's Toa Bidvar Mishnah. You're going against the Beferish Mishnah. Now, not to be taken literally, meaning if you're going against the Beferish Gemara, or you're going against the Beferish Halacha, meaning it's just simply talking about an egregious error. So does Beis Din, should Beis Din go ahead and recant on their position? And should the ruling be undone? And that's really what's at the issue over here between version number one and version number two. Because in version number one, Rebbe did actually paskin like the Tanakama, and in version number two, he was considering paskin like the Tanakama. Okay, and the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, and oh, by the way, not such a minor point. This is called Toa Bidvar Mishnah. It's a little bit strange to call this Toa Bidvar Mishnah. Meaning, consider, in our Mishnah, what do we have? A machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel. And passing against Rav Shimon Gamliel is considered Toa Bidvar Mishnah? That's a little bit strange. Rashi over here addresses that. Rashi does say that over here, because Rav Shimon Gamliel gives a svara, and it's a strong svara, so then paskin against Rav Shimon Gamliel is considered Toa Bidvar Mishnah. Okay. Still, a little bit challenging. But anyway, look, the Gemara says, no, let's not make a big difference between the two versions of the story. And the Kulei Alma Toa Bidvar Mishnah Choser. In fact, everyone's of the position that if Beis Din made such an egregious error in judgment, and they went against the Beferish Mishnah, so then, of course, ruling is undone. And doesn't even require an appeal, and we'll have to do this again. So Omar Savar Achav Amaisa, Omar Savar Achav Amaisa, and the only issue over here is what exactly happened. That's all. It's just a question of getting the story right. Amar of Yosef Armalasa Dezavne Ayasme and Beidina Dezavne Achrayos Ayasme. Sorry, I skipped an important word. So Armalasa Dezavne Achrayos Ayasme and Beidina Dezavne Achrayos Ayasme. Now, this should sound familiar because we went over this point earlier in the Masechta, and we get to go over it again. And that is that when the sale of the property of Yisomim are done and the buyer purchases it, he purchases it with protection. There is buyer protection, there is recourse. If in the event any of the creditors of the Yisomim come and rightfully take back the property, so now what the buyer can do is go back to the Yisomim and demand a full refund on the sale price. Okay, good. Recourse. So, and it doesn't matter whether the widow sells, it doesn't matter if Beis Din sells. So there's going to be recourse. And who's responsible for the recourse? Obviously, the Yisomim. It's their property being sold. Granted, an agent sold the property in either the Almana or the Beis Din, but it doesn't matter. In other words, it's sold with recourse. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Almana lo yitzrich lei. So the Gemara says, now, as far as when the widow sells the property, so there's going to be recourse on that sale, and there's going to be buyer protection. So the Gemara says, yeah, we knew that already. I didn't need Rav Yosef to make a formal statement. It's obvious. The Gemara says, ki yitzrich lei beidina. Now, I'll tell you why it's necessary. It's necessary for the case of Beis Din. Ma'u detay must be turned to the Amud Beis, because I might have thought, called the Zavin be beidina, adai tala meipak lei kalahu de Zavin. Look, when you're selling through Beis Din, by definition, it's going to be done through auctioning. So in other words, there's a public proclamation that this land is being sold. Now, in a public proclamation, so one would imagine that if there was anyone who felt that the land belonged to them, either because they were the real rightful owner, or alternatively because they had a lien on that property. So because it was a public sale, and if anyone actually felt that they had a right to that property, so then entitle them, they're going to come and claim that property. And if somebody buys under those circumstances, hava mina. I would have thought that maybe the buyer is buying it without protection, with the assumption that if anyone rightfully owned it, he would have came out at this point in time. So Kamashmalan, the Chiddush is no. That even though it was sold auction, even though it was sold publicly, nevertheless, there's still going to be buyer protection in that sale. And in the event that the land was taken by anyone who rightfully is entitled to that land, so now the buyer can go back to the Yisomim and demand a reimbursement of the sale. Okay. We're on Kuf Amud Beis. We are at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, two lines down, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ad Kama. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel allows for a larger margin of error. So we know that his margin of error exceeds a six. Is there a cap? Is there a ceiling? The Gemara's answer is yes. So Ad Kama, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes Ad Palga, Tayina Mihachi, Amar Shimon Gamliel, Beis and Shemachu Shavim Masayim Bemana, O Shavim Mana Bemasayim Machram Kayim. So the Gemara says up to half. Meaning, if the property appraised for, let's say, $100, and the sale was $50, so Shimon Gamliel says, because it was done by Beis Din, because of Makoch Beis Din Yafeh, so we're going to uphold the sale. However, anything less than 50 cents on the dollar, and even Shimon Gamliel says that is too gross an error, and then the sale is going to be voided. Okay, the Gemara quotes, in the name of a Maimar, Beis Din sells without an auction, that is a gross error, and the sale is going to be voided. Now, the Gemara is bothered by a simple diuk in the way a Maimar says it. It's like they made a gross error. Nasu, vadai tau. What do you mean it's like they made a gross error? They made a gross error of judgment. Gemara says, consider. So the Gemara in Erchin, Chaf Aleph, second day in a row, we're quoting the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Chaf Aleph, which is that when you sell off the properties of Yisrael, you need to make an auction, a 30-day auction when you're selling off the properties. And in terms of the details of how to auction, see the Gemara in Erchin for more details, making the announcement morning and evening as people are going to and from work. Anyway, you make an auction. And when it's Yisrael's properties for 30 days and when it's Hektish property for 60 days, meanwhile, it's a Beferish Mishnah. Why is a Maimar tiptoeing around this halacha? It's like they made an egregious error. No, it's not like they made an egregious error. They made an egregious error. So the Gemara says, "Ime yehav amin hanimi l'shliach aval beis din lo kamash malan." Gemara says, "Yeah, the mission erichin. You could have suggested the mission erichin is only talking about a shliach, but maybe by beis din, it's not a gross error. That's the havamina. A Maimar is telling us no. Basically, he's telling us pshat in the mission erichin is that it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if a shliach sells it. Doesn't matter if a beis din sells it." Done without a hachraza, it is simply a voided sale, right? It's a unforgivable error. Okay, and now, as promised at the beginning of today's daf, but now as we go back to the beginning of today's daf, so as promised, so we're going to go back to our Mishnah. So I go back to the first half of our Mishnah. Now, in the first half of the Mishnah, so you can't, according to the Tanakhama, you can't go over a six in its price. And if you do so, so then it's going to be refunded. But as long as you sold it at its market value, sale's valid. Good. That's what we learned the first half of the Mishnah. Now, my love, delo achruz. So then now, was there an auction done in the first half of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, there was no auction. The Gemara says, lo, but the achruz. No, there was an auction. The Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat. So the Gemara says, no, look at the whole Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah, there's an auction. And now, if in the second half of the Mishnah, there's an auction, and obviously a contrast between the first and the second half of the Mishnayos, so that means to say that in the first half of the Mishnah, there was no auction. Okay, fine. So there, if there was no auction the first half of the Mishnah, so now I ask you, you a Maimar called selling off properties without an auction an egregious error, an unforgivable error. And meanwhile, I'm looking at our Mishnah, and because in the second half of the Mishnah there was an auction, in the first half of the Mishnah there was no auction, and if there was no auction, how can we validate the sale? And in the first half of the Mishnah, the only thing in validating the sale is going to be the sale price. But as long as they got the price right, the sale is valid, even in the absence of an auction. Okay. So, elolo lamadolo achros, velo kasha. And so what we have to do now is we have to resolve the discrepancy between a Maimar
and the first half of our Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to do so in four different ways. Number one, Lo kasha kam bedvarim shemachrizin aleim, kam bedvarim shemachrizin aleim, veilin dvarim shemachrizin aleim, avadim ha-taltalin, v'ashtaros avadim tamamai, shema yishmu v'yivrach, metaltalin v'shtaros shema yignivu. So, resolution number one. Certain things you don't make an auction over. Our Mishnah is describing things you don't make an auction over. For example, avadim. Right? You start auctioning off the sale of an Evan, obviously he's going to hear, right? And he's going to run away. Number two, metaltalin, movable items. You start auctioning off movable items, it's going to invite thieves to come and take it. Same thing with shtaros. You're going to start auctioning off a shtar, you're inviting thieves to come and take it. So those are things that I do not auction off. Maybe our Mishnah is describing that. That's one way to resolve the Mishnah and the statement of a Mamar. Number two, resolution number two is maybe there are times when you don't do achraza legitimately. When it has to be a stress sale, so then you sell without an auction. If I'm collecting for tax, so you don't want to fool around, right? The government's coming and collecting. And back in the day, I mean today as well, but back in the day, the government comes and collects. You don't just simply push it off. You don't sign up for an extension. In other words, you got to pay it right away. And so there, no time for auction. And the same thing is true regarding collecting mazonos for the widow. And the same thing is true for kvura. These are things that you just simply can't wait for. And so therefore, the sale is done without an auction. Also, there are certain locations where the culture is not to do an auction. In the town of Narda, says Rav Nachman, we never auctioned when we sold. Now, why? Why don't we do auctions in Narda? So at first we thought because they know how to appraise properties and they don't need an auction in order to command the best price for the property. They know how to appraise it. The Gemara says no, but the Amale Rav Yosef Bar Minyume Lididim Mefarshli Mineder Rav Nachman. So he says, you don't have to guess why we don't auction Nahrda. I heard it directly from Rav Nachman. And here's what I heard from Rav Nachman. Mishim dekarulei b'nei achle nichsei de'achrezasa. Because when you buy from an auction, so people now start talking about you. And the culture in Nahrda is that people frowned upon anyone who purchased at an auction. Right? Taking advantage of Yisomim. Exploitation of Yisomim when you buy property from an auction. And so therefore, since people maligned anyone who purchased an auction. So therefore, the minhag in Arda was to sell without an auction. Now, I'm at a loss in terms of explaining why this didn't exist in other locations and why this stigma only existed in Arda as opposed to other locations. I don't know why that's true, but okay, that's a third answer. Did I lose count? Was that a third answer, a fourth answer? Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So when you have metaltan yisomim, and we're talking about movables, we're also talking about perishables as well. Basically, from here into the Mishnah, we're going to give a number of examples of when you're entrusted with the estate of yisomim. So basically, you have to be prudent in the way that you handle it. In other words, you have to make responsible business decisions. I think the correct terminology to describe that is your fiduciary responsibility. But either way, in other words, you have to use a lot of good common sense and good common business decision sense. So over here, a number of examples. So if you have metaltan of yisomim and they're perishable, so when should you sell them? The answer is very simple. Immediately. Rav Chista Amar Avini Mocher Nosan L'Shvakim. And the Gemara counters and says, no, you should take it to the market. And the Gemara says, it's very simple. Meaning, again, this is just a little bit of common sense over here. And that is that if the market is proximate, either in location or in time, so then wait till the market, because then you'll get a better price. But if the market is not close by, and now we're talking about perishable, sell it immediately. So the Gemara says that Rav Kahana was entrusted with the beer of orphans, and now he had the responsibility of selling it. He waited till Yontif. Amar afagav denafal be itzisasa, my sisu zecharifa. He says, look, I know waiting till Yontif is now going to run the risk of souring the beer. On the other hand, when people pay for beer on Yontif, so they had money readily available. And instead of selling it on credit, I get to sell it for cash. Selling it for cash is better than selling it for credit. And look, I understand that there's a give and take. In every business decision, there's going to be a give and take. I feel that it's better, it's more prudent to wait till Yontif, and therefore I can get cash on hand as opposed to buying it before Yontif and then having to purchase it on credit, and then running after the buyers in order to pay their debt. Ravina was entrusted with the wine of his nephew, who happened to have been an orphan. Havali didei nami chamra. Now it happened to be that he himself also had wine. Havakamasikle l'sichra. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to send it to a place called Sichra. In other words, he wanted to ship it. Now, with every shipment, there comes a risk. And what he wanted to know is that, look, I run the risk of shipping my nephew's wine, and I'm a custodian over it. And is that going to be responsible if I ship it? But he also adds that I ship my own wine. So Asal coming to Rav Ashi, so he goes to Rav Ashi, Amalei, Maul Imtuye Behadan. Can I ship my nephew's wine with my wine in order to sell it? Amalei, Zil Lo Adif Miditcha. And Rav Ashi says, yeah. In other words, if you feel responsible enough where you're going to do it with your own wine, so then yes, you're totally enabled and empowered to do so with your nephew's wine as well. Okay, again, just as long as you feel that it's responsible behavior, so then you can make these kinds of business decisions. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah.